My friends, the word of God comes to us today from the Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. Hear these words. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom, he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then Jesus said to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. And we give thanks to God for it. So today's scripture passage is kind of famous. I suppose all of scripture is really, but there are some stories from scripture that we have heard so many times that we think we know them. We think we understand what they're all about. We think we know what they mean for us and for all of time. Today's story might be one of those stories. But the thing about scripture is this: the Bible is a living, breathing word. Our lives change every single day. And while God is steadfast and unchanging, God is still speaking to us through his holy word. The Holy Spirit is still at work among us. And so this word still has something new to say to us. Every one of you got up and came to church this morning, I hope because God is at work in your life and something or someone nudged you to be here, even if you're still yawning, still in the presence of being woken up by the Spirit this morning. I see you out there, Frank. But we come upon God's word today, and if we are listening, if we are alert and awake to the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be transformed, renewed, filled up with this good news that we are to carry with us out into the world as people who have been changed by this good news. And Jesus does some really important things in our scripture text today. The Gospel of Luke helps us to slow down and hear every moment of this dramatic scene in the church, in the temple. By stepping up to read and to preach, Jesus is beginning his public ministry. And you can tell that this occasion is of maximum importance by the way that the Gospel of Luke narrates every step. He says, when Jesus came to Nazareth, his hometown where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He went to his hometown church where his parents had brought him every week as a child. And he stood in that historic pulpit to preach to his people for the very first time. And he unrolled the scroll of the Torah, of God's holy word, and he found the place where it was written. And then Jesus states his mission statement. He tells them what Christ has come among them to do. This is what God has sent him to earth to do, what Jesus through God is all about. Jesus stands before these people, folks that have known him his entire life, people who think they know who Jesus is, who've got him all figured out. And he says to them, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me to bring good news to you, to share good news to all the people, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. God chose me to do all that." And he doesn't just end there. His mission statement has a time frame that includes anyone who showed up for church that day. Because Jesus ends by saying, "Today, God's word has been fulfilled in your hearing." Mic drop. Like any good mission statement, Jesus uses few words that mean a whole lot. He starts off by saying he has good news for the poor. Now, Jesus' use of the word poor, it's not just about those who were economically poor, those that next week we'll give an offering for who can't afford a bowl of soup. The poor Jesus is talking about are the same kind of poor that he references in the Sermon on the Mount, the poor in spirit. For Jesus, the word poor is about brokenness, hurt, pain, fear, separation, worry, and isolation. Those who are poor in spirit, lacking in faith. Jesus says he has good news for those people. And the good news is that he has been sent to proclaim release to the captives. Now, who are the captives? All the people gathered there, they're the captive audience, right? All of us are held captive. We're just held captive by different things. For some people, it's a physical captivity. They're held captive by bars in prisons. But none of us sit in a prison cell this morning. Instead, we are held captive by other things: our debts, our fears, our addictions, our desires. And Jesus proclaims release. What is that release? Release is about freedom, but it's the deepest kind of freedom. It is a freedom that removes the ache. The Greek word that Jesus uses for release here is aphesis. And the word aphesis is often translated as forgiveness or deliverance, a letting go, a complete pardon. So Jesus announces release, freedom from whatever is holding you back in this moment. My friends, what holds you captive today? What can Jesus Christ release you from? For Jesus has come to bring good news to the poor in spirit, to release the captives, to set us free, and to bring recovery of sight to the blind. I want to tell you a story about a church that was blind. While I was in seminary, I heard a lecture from a visiting professor who was a retired United Methodist minister. He told a story about Glide Memorial United Methodist Church in San Francisco. Glide Memorial is located in one of the poorest neighborhoods in San Francisco. It's known as the Tenderloin District. Glide, as other Methodist churches have been known to do, they received a new pastor appointed to them by the bishop. They were not very excited about this new appointment. I know that you can all not relate to this because you've all been so thrilled about all of your appointments at bishop here at Bethel. But this appointment came in the late 1960s to this dying church that was struggling like many of our churches struggle still today. This church had lost its vitality. It no longer looked outside the walls of its church. In fact, you could say that this church had become captive to itself, focused only inward on itself, allowing its walls almost to become like a barricade. Well, here comes their new pastor, Cecil Williams. This church, which was composed mostly of older white members, located in a neighborhood where the demographics had vastly changed, received the appointment of a young African-American pastor. And on his first Sunday of preaching, many of the members walked out. Now, I heard this story sitting in Emory University's chapel from the Reverend Cecil Williams himself. And he told us that on the next Sunday, he preached from the back of the sanctuary so that if they were going to leave, they would at least have to pass him on the way out. Pretty good idea. Well, Reverend Williams stuck around, and he did something quite innovative. He went out into the neighborhood of the church. And do you know what he did? He started inviting their neighbors to church. Many of them were homeless, prostitutes, drug users, and drug dealers, and he just started inviting them to worship. He didn't invite them to come have a meal. He didn't offer them assistance. He didn't offer ministry from the church to the people. He offered to worship with them. To worship with Christ, the one who offers recovery. Jesus offers recovery of sight to the blind. And this church was blind. If they saw their community, they chose to be blind, and their church was dying. Their community was blind, unable to see and know the power of God's love and grace, and the redemption was possible when they just loved their neighbors. And so this new pastor came and invited those who this church had not wanted to see. And he risked rejection, inviting many who likely did not want to see that there could be another way from the life that they were currently living. But he kept inviting them. And transformation began. After a while, things started happening in this church. A drug rehab program, housing initiative, HIV outreach, tutoring programs, 3 hot meals a day. These ministries began to develop with people who once were blind but now could see. Everyone at this church was blind, perhaps in different ways. And today, Glide Memorial has a new slogan. There they say, we are all in recovery. My friends, how are we here at Bethel blind today? What do we need to see? Where do we need the power of Christ's recovery? Jesus announces that he is here to let the oppressed go free. And oppression is about being weighed down, burdened. Oppression is about power. It's about injustice. And this word oppression seems to get thrown around a lot. Teenagers who have a flair for the dramatic might sometimes speak about being oppressed by the weight of homework or the burdensome rules of their dictator parents. We might hear new pundits throw the word around, slinging it at their opposition. Many of us might feel oppressed by paperwork, the laundry, the deadlines at work. Well, sadly, the laundry is probably never going to end. What is it that weighs you down? Where do you look and see an imbalance of power? Where have your eyes recovered the sight to see injustice? Our scripture today proclaims that Jesus has come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What might that mean for us? You know, what strikes me is that the very first thing Jesus talks about as he begins his public ministry is this idea of jubilee. The concept of jubilee shows up all throughout the parables of Jesus, and it is prevalent in the Lord's Prayer. When we pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Other translations say, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," or "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us." Many religious people dismiss jubilee as an unattainable religious goal, that while it is prescribed in the law of Moses, they claimed it was never really practiced. What is jubilee? Jubilee was the time back in ancient days when all debts were canceled, when all things were forgiven, when all slaves were freed, when there was oppression no more. It was a fresh start for everyone, a clean slate. And jubilee is what the kingdom of God is all about. Jubilee is what Christ came to earth to reveal among us. As the people heard in the temple that day, Jesus makes it clear that this is not a dead book. The scriptures aren't stories about prophets and some long ago kings that have no effect on our lives today. Because when Jesus reads from the scriptures, he says, "Today, these words are fulfilled in your hearing." A better translation might be, "Today, God's word is fulfilled in your hearing." This goes back to our understanding that God's word is not dead, that Christ is alive, that God is still moving and working within us and among us, and that when we hear this living, breathing word of God, it becomes alive in us. Hearing is intimate and powerful. So as you hear these words, you come to know Christ and what God has come to do. My friends, as you hear this word today, it is fulfilled in your life. So listen once more. Today, Christ brings good news. Today, you are no longer held captive. Today, you are set free. Today, God gives you sight. Today is jubilee. Today you meet Christ and you hear what God does. This is the mission statement of Jesus Christ our Lord. Freedom, forgiveness, not just some long time ago in a Nazareth temple, but for all time, for all people, especially for us here today. When they heard this scripture in the temple, the Bible says they were standing as they heard Jesus speak. My friends, will you stand now as you are able? I have a question for you today. Will you join Jesus in fulfilling his mission in the world? Will you join with Jesus? Yes. Then hear the good news. The Holy Spirit will be with you so that you may be with Christ, preaching good news to the poor, proclaiming release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, setting free those who are oppressed, and proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. This is what God does through our Savior who sends you. This word is fulfilled today in your hearing. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Open our hearts to you today, O God. In the midst of winter darkness, help us to see the brightness of your love. Help us not to be afraid of whatever is holding us captive, remembering that you came to set us free. You are our light and salvation. This is the good news. May your word be fulfilled among us today. And may all God's people say, Amen.